gospel meetings. Good to see brothers and sisters who will support our meeting. I just appreciate you being here. I heartily believe that tonight is the last night of our gospel meeting. And we've been supported so well. But it's just great to have been here this week. I've enjoyed it. This is the first day that I haven't been invited out, though, you know, to eat. And I want you to know that me and my sisters have thanked the Lord all day. Because y'all have fed us, and it has been overbearing almost. But anyway, but we survived it. I want to thank Robert for the work that he did. It's been a joy to get to meet with him and Miss Jane this week and in this meeting and to see the work that he's doing and commend him for that work. And Tom, I appreciate you, the work you did in leading our singing. It's been great. It's truly been great. And I'm looking forward to maybe another meeting down the road one of these days. The Lord willing. And we'll look forward to coming back again. Lenny, of course, going into town now, which I'm glad she does because it's easier and more convenient. And I do appreciate all those who come and support. She's worked hard at trying to get San Antonio to come, and they turned out and have been a great support this week, and we appreciate that so very much. One of the most quoted scriptures of this day and time that I hear is, "Judge not, that you be not judged." All the time I hear that statement. Most of the time that I hear it, it is because that someone has made a judgment about somebody or something or some particular issue. And most of the time, those who are on the other side of that issue or that particular idea, they're the ones who are quoting that particular passage. Of course, that passage comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 7. But I'm thanking God. It says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." They don't read the rest of the story, as Paul Harden would say. They don't read the rest of the scripture. For that scripture goes on to say, "For in the way that you judge, you will be judged." And he says, "And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." He goes on to say, you need to be careful about the judgment because however the way you go about it, you're judging, you got to remember that the Lord's going to use that same ruler. The Lord's going to use that same yardstick about you. Were you merciful in your judgments? Were you patient? Were you graceful? And folks, most of the folks that I've met need all the patience and the grace they can get. Sort of like that lady that had her picture taken in the church directory. And she got it. She went back to the photographer and she told the photographer, she said, "Look, I want another picture because this picture does not do me justice." And he said, "Lady, you don't need justice, you need mercy." So, you know, anyway, that's the way we are, you know. But I want us to understand that most of the time, and it's getting worse and worse in our society, when we stand up for that which is right, those who are opposed to those Christian principles, they will bring this particular passage up. But coming back to that, the book says you need to understand that with what judgment you judge, that's how it's going to be measured to you. And so the end of time, you and I are going to need grace and mercy and justice and all those kinds of things. And so it's important. The important thing that we go back and look at the rest of the story is we look at Jesus and we wonder about this statement that he said, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." He said, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' and behold the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrites. First take the log out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly how to take the speck out of your brother's eye." And then Jesus says, "Do not give what is holy to dogs. And do not throw your pearls before swine." Now, if it is the best biblical principle not to judge, my question is, how are we going to determine who the dogs are? Because he said, here, what is it? He said, "Do not give that which is holy to the dogs." If you can't make a judgment about people, if you can't make a judgment about issues and what have you, then what in the world are we to do? What does Jesus mean? Because he said, don't give that which is holy to the dogs. Don't throw your pearls before swine. And so, folks, Jesus is saying, I want you to know there's some dogs out there. I want you to know that there's some swine out there. And there are some people that you simply cannot do anything with. And you have to make that judgment sometimes. However, I do at the same time make a disclaimer, if we could call it that, that the Lord did not send us to be soil testers or soil judges. He sent us forth with the seed to sow. And as we sow the seed, there are going to be all kinds of people out here that will accept it. The parable of the sower tells us that. The parable of the net that was dragged out, and there was brought forth in the net all kinds of fish, and there was some that had to be discarded while others were used. And so there has to be that judgment. So we wonder about it. But we all make judgments about things, don't we? We all make judgments about it. And I find that even within the Lord's church, we make a whole lot of judgments about things sometimes. Growing up in West Tennessee, where I grew up, around Ruthfoot Lake, my dad preached up there, and there were certain things that we didn't do. In Tiptonville, where I grew up, there was, in the middle of town, this place that was a pool hall. And my dad told me, son, I don't want to ever catch you in that pool hall. And believe me, I didn't want to go in the pool hall because it was a nasty place. It was a beer joint, actually, And just walking by that place, was enough to turn your stomach off, But he said, boy, don't ever let me catch you in that pool hall. And so, I did not go. And all my life, I made a judgment about those people in the pool hall. And not only did I make a judgment about the people in the pool hall, I made a judgment about people who played pool. You know that? Because my daddy taught me. My daddy showed me. And you don't do that, We just don't do that. And so I went all those years thinking about anybody who played pool, they were bound to be bad, bound to be evil, bound to be wrong. My sister Pat moved to Louisiana when I was about 9 years old. And so we would go down once a year to visit her down in Monroe. And we'd go down and visit her every year, They had a nice little four-room house, And the Lord blessed them. And they expanded that room. They expanded that house, rather. And they added a great big family room into that house. We were anxious to see it when I was about 14, 15 years old. And so we went down there. I was excited to see them. I can remember. As a matter of fact, on Christmas Eve, we were getting ready to go. And I worked in a little grocery store. A little lady come in. She wanted a quarter's worth of bologna. Back then, you could get a quarter's worth of bologna, You could. But I was 15 years old. I was mad because I'd already cleaned up the meat slicer. And I threw that stick of bologna in there and cut the end of that finger off.
Oh.
I gave her $50 worth of finger and a quarter's worth of bologna. But anyway, we left after we closed the store. We left going to Louisiana, and I was anxious to get down there to see my sister Pat. And we walked in and see this new room, that they had this new room. And so we walked into the house, and when I walked into that room, lo and behold, it was the big one, Elizabeth, because let me tell you, there was a pool table in my sister's house. I could not believe it. My daddy had taught me all of my life, don't you go in that pool, old boy. It's bad. It's bad. And here my sister, and she went to church, too. But let me tell you what topped that off. My daddy turns to me and he said, son, do you want to play a game of pool? He's a preacher. I said, oh my goodness, what in the world is happening? I make judgments about those people who play pool, because of an association. Judgment wasn't right. It wasn't the matter of the pool. Of the pool play, it's a matter of those who inhabited the pool hall and what took place down at the pool hall, We all had those kinds of things, you know. My mother would not, you know, the only kind of car game that was allowed in my house, maybe, was homemade. You know, you didn't dare play anything with a face card. And you certainly didn't play it again. Monopoly was even out because, you know, you had to roll the dice. You know, those kinds of things. We made judgments about people who did that. I have to admit, I've made judgments about people, and especially in this day and time, it seems like everybody and their dog is getting a tattoo. You know? I saw a fellow at a funeral the other day. He had tattoos. I don't know where all he had them, but I do know this. Every part of the flesh that was showing, there was a tattoo. The only part that didn't have a tattoo was right here. And I just couldn't believe it because I don't know about people who have tattoos, you know it. Now, I know some of you guys who were in World War I and World War II, maybe the Korean, y'all got tattoos, you know, but that's part of being military, you know. I accept that, you know. But now these modern people who have all these colored arms, whatever, you know, I just didn't know about those people, and I made judgments about those. And then the other day I read in the Christian Chronicle about this brother up in Massachusetts, a man who was converted to the Lord and healed a tattoo parlor. And he had tattoos all over his house. And I'm thinking, how can I fellowship that brother? You know what? Because he's got tattoos on him. In my daily Bible reading, I've been in Isaiah. You know what? And it just so happened about that time that I turned over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, and I read there where God said that he had engraved me in the palm of his hand. And I said, God's got a tattoo. And that tattoo is my name. He's inscribed my name on his hand. And I thought, John, here you are to making judgments again about people that you ought not to be making judgments about. You know? The only way that you and I can make a judgment is where God has made a judgment. And that judgment is found within the pages of this book. And when we make a judgment about any kind of thing, whether it be same-sex marriage, homosexuality, or anything, it's not because of our prejudices like I have about tattoos or about pool play. It's because of this book. And when God's made a judgment, I can't change that judgment. And I accept that fact. But I'm not necessarily talking about that tonight. I'm talking to you about our own little judgments that we make. That's not right. That's not right, you see. And so, I'm here to tell you that we need to be very, very, very careful about that. You know, you don't cut down a fruit tree simply because it has a few pieces of that fruit on it. Now, if it continues year after year, yeah, you cut down that peach tree or apple tree because it's not producing anything. But just because you go out there and, you know, you have a glorious crop of peaches, but there's a few rotten peaches on the ground, you know, you don't cut down the tree. Sometimes my brethren want to do that. Sometimes my brethren want to look at somebody who has a spoiled spot in their life and they want to cut down the whole tree. Some of my brethren want to shoot our wounded. You know, we have a lot of wounded folks out here that are hurting. You know, they've got things in life. And you and I know. You know, you and I know perfectly well that there's none of us that are perfect. And so there are a lot of people out here that are hurting in different ways. And sometimes we're so short with them. And we wonder, why did they not speak to us today? You know, I went to church, you know, they didn't even speak to them. I think I'll go back. I think I'll stay away. This fellow told his wife that one morning. Said, I'm not going to church this morning. Not going back to those people if they don't like it, they don't speak to them. I don't like it. She said, sweetheart, you've got to go to church this morning. Tell me one reason why I've got to go. She said, because number one, you know, the Bible tells you so. The Bible says we're not to forsake the assembly. The second reason, you're the preacher. You know, we sometimes make judgments about people that we should not make judgments about because we don't understand that we haven't walked in their shoes. We don't know how they're hurting. We don't know that home that things are not so good. I tell people that sometimes, you know, the greatest miracle in the church today takes place in the church parking lot. They leave home, and they're fussing, they're fighting, they're arguing. And all the way to church, they're fussing, and they're fighting, and they're arguing. But the minute they pull up in the church parking lot and step out of the car, everybody says, "How you doing?" "Oh, fine, brother, we are doing just great. Miracle happened." All of a sudden, this couple who was fussing and fighting, they're mad at each other, ready for a divorce. All of a sudden, they get in the parking lot and meet the brethren, and everything is fine and wonderful. But folks, I'm here to tell you that people are hurting. We need to be careful about how we make judgments on people. Do you know what I hear? That sometimes that the worst people on Sunday after church, you know, we're trying to get out and meet those other folks to the restaurant. I hear that the worst folks are those who call themselves Christians. They've just come from church. And they get ill at the waitress who happens to have left home that morning, you see, because she's a single mom. She's a single mom who's trying to make a living because she has two children. And the dad is a deadbeat, or he's left. And she's trying to make it the best she can. And things are tough with her. And we come in, and because she's not up on her brightest length that day, because she's not glowing with sunshine, and because she's not so happy that she can't greet us like she'd like to, then we just wonder, what side of the bed did you get up on? You know? We make judgments about things that we should not make judgments. I want to tell you about why we should not make judgments. Number one, you should be careful about your own judgments and why it's difficult to make the right kind of judgments because of your own sin. Jesus said in this passage, he said, "I want you to look at the log that is in your eye when you're trying to get the speck out of your brother's eye." I think Jesus at times had a sense of humor. I just sort of sense that. Can you imagine that? Here's this fellow that's got this great big four by four sticking out of his eye, this great big beam sticking out of his eye, and he says, "Brother, let me get that speck of sawdust out of your eye." The contrast there is absolutely enormous. And Jesus said that's one of the things that we do. He said, "How ridiculous, how hypocritical can that be? That you would try to get the sawdust out of somebody's eye when there's a log in yours." I had a lady to approach me one time, said, "I've never done anything wrong. Never done anything wrong. And yet I happen to know she'd been married 5 times. Something bad had been wrong. And not only that, she had had multiple affairs. But she'd never done anything wrong. But she's going to straighten everybody else out. You know, that's the way it was." You can't straighten people out when there are logs that are in your eye and you're trying to get the speck out of somebody else's eye. And we strain at the gnat and swallow the camel so many times to try to do that. So first of all, I want you to know that you need to be careful because there may be sin in your life that you need to take care of. And I'm not saying that because we're all sinners. I realize that. We all fall short of the glory of God, you know. And so we say, "Well, I can't reach this person because, you know, I'm a sinner like everybody else." No, you know, we're not talking about people where we try to help each other. We try to help each other. But all of us are sinners. I'm talking about those glaring faults, though. The second thing is we don't know all the circumstances.